Parshas Kisetze, the Torah opens up with the story of Yifas Toyer, which is a rather difficult story to understand. The easy way out is what the Gemara says in Kedushin, that the Torah understands the psychology of a human being. The Torah doesn't give him some form of an outlet at war. It's going to be more severe, so he has to do it this way. It's a hard story to understand all the halachas. If you look in Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, he's troubled. He said that war was a very spiritual experience. It wasn't like we look at war as, you know, just survive and do what you need to do. It was a spiritual experience. That's why we only took for war the most respectable members of society, those that were naki from Aveira. And these are the guys you're worried about sinning. You know, if you tell me that war is, you know, whoever's the strongest, or not necessarily the biggest spiritual individual, and you tell me the whole story, Fastoya, you're worried, he's not going to be able to control himself. But we sent to the front lines the great, great people. We didn't just send strong people. We sent, you know, spiritually energized people. So what are you so worried about? So the answer, Afal Pikein, still, you know, you see how severe war can be. Chatzko Abramsky discusses this when he talks about in those years, in the early years after the establishment of Israel, when there was a whole discussion of putting women into the army, that whole discussion. So Chatzko Abramsky says, you see from this story that even though the greatest people are soldiers, wartime is a wild time. And a lot of things can happen that necessarily you would say, how could that happen? That's what wartime is. And therefore he says that's why the Chiddush of the Parashah Yifas Toyer. He also points out, we don't find anywhere else in the Torah does the Torah say, listen, I know you have a big taiva, so I'll let you do what you want. You never hear the Torah says, a guy really has a big taiva to work on Shabbos. And it's really hard to overcome his taiva. So Kosh Baruch will say, you know what? I'll sneak in and I'll give you a heter, you'll do this, you'll do that, and you can work on Shabbos. You don't find that any other mitzvah in the Torah that's hard to be miskaber, so we have a loophole for it. We'd like one, it would be a nice idea. Now it's really hard for me to keep kashrus. So you know what? 3 days a week you don't keep kashrus. You know, we don't find such a concept. Says Chatzko Abramsky, this is the only place in the Torah where we find, the Torah says, listen, let's be practical. You guys are not going to make it in war if I don't give you an option to live with a non-Jewish woman, which is a very antithesis of Jewish ideology. So he says, you see from here that there's something very powerful about the war experience that we don't understand, maybe, even if we're not, you know, we don't get what could happen or what's going through the mind of soldiers. So therefore he says the Torah is describing to us an experience that we can't really connect to. And therefore he says, why would you want to subject our nice, good Jewish girls to such a situation? That was part of his argument to why we shouldn't have women in the army. But
yeah. Doing it anyway without war.
Yeah, I agree. Many Mefarshim learn in Al Pi Zoya that the parasha is not really referring to just a physical war, it's referring to the Melchama Sayyidza. Kiseitz al Melchama Yivecha, who's your enemy? Your enemy is referring to the Yitzhahara. And many Mefarshim developed this idea. So it's based on a Zoya that this parasha obviously is in this time of the year in Elul to teach us this idea of how do you have success against your Yitzhahara, not so much your enemy, meaning the Gaisha enemies, it's referring to your own personal battles. But the Kliyakar has a very, very moving idea. He says over the Torah saying, when you go to war against your enemies, you have to realize that when you're going to come to the story of Yifas Toyer, you're going to say to yourself, ah, me, I did this. I succeeded in a war and I conquered my enemy and now I'm taking this girl as, you know, my prize. It's very easy to go down the road of says the Kliyakar. Very easy for a person to think, that's all about me. I made the war. He says, no, the war, he's bothered by the wording. What do you mean, Kiseitz to the war? Because he says, the war, that battle that you're going to fight, that was predated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether you win or whether you're going to lose, you have nothing to do with that battle. You're just going to go do the actions. But that war is already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to define what's going to be the outcome. And don't think about yourself when you succeed and you do well, you're going to take this girl, and she's going to be your, you know, your prize. Don't think that it's all about you, says the Kli Yakar. It's not, the message of the Torah is that it's not about your personal success of Kayichi Vaitim Yadi, but rather it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's the one who helped you win the battle. And the Torah gives us a parasha ben Sayyid Ramayra, a very difficult parasha to understand. For many years I gave a chumash here, Shabbos morning in Queens, and every year the same fellow would tell me, he says, I can't learn parashas Kiseitz. I said, what's wrong? He said, I just don't understand ben Sayyid Ramayra. I said, okay, what's the problem? He says, I don't understand. What happened to the rule of, we find by Yishmol, it says, Basher Husham. And why by the ben Sayyid Ramayra do we give up hope on him? He told me, I can't continue, I can't do parashas Kiseitz. So it's a terrific kasha. Masha asks it. Others ask it. It's not like the kasha where, okay, if I don't get an answer, I have to go off the derech. You know, there's answers to this kasha. So the Masha and Rosh Hashanah asks this kasha. Rosh Hashanah asks this kasha. Others ask this kasha. So Masha says a very nice pshat. Masha says, because one is talking about your personal self. Meaning, if you start off at a young age showing signs of a certain behavior, you will be destined to follow that as an adult. By Yishmael, it wasn't him who was going to be bad, it was his children that were going to be bad. Yishmael Ba'asher Hashem was a good person. The fact that he's going to have Ein HaKloch one day that are going to be horrible, horrible people to Klai Yisrael, that's not a Taina in Yishmael. That's how the Marsha answered. A very simple answer. Basher Rishon was Yishmael. At that time when Yishmael was a small child, he wasn't a bad kid. The fact that later on he's going to have dairies of terrorists that are going to be horrible people, okay. That's not what we judge now. Mashenkin the Ben Sayyid Rumayr, right now the Ben Sayyid Rumayr is, we know that this kid that we're talking about right now, flash, you know, go forward 20 years, he's going to be a terrorist to society.
You have the Medrash, that's very much pulling the guy, the kid out of the
wall. Right, same idea.
That was the boy himself.
That's right.
Oh, he's going to be
Yeah. Again, the story of Ben Sayyid Rumayr needs more discussion for, but I just want to mention the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that you don't become a Ben Sayyid Rumayr until two things happen. You have to steal, you have to eat meat, which is the way we have it in the Gemara. And one more thing Yerushalmi adds. Mishtakchei lemudav. He forgets his learning. So Chaim Shmulevitz has a piece, and others ask. He's like, that's the problem with a Ben Sayyid Rumayr. The problem is he forgot the Perek HaZayrik and Gittin. That's what we're worried about. You know, the kid's out there stealing, robbing, you know, today, well, he's doing drugs, and he's drinking, he's doing all things. But you know what we're upset? He forgot that Reb Chaim he learned in the second year based Medrash. That's what we're worried about. That's our concern about this kid. This kid is clearly at risk, you call it. We're worried about him. We're worried about him forgetting his learning. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, he sees him over here, that this kid can be as bad as he is, as long as there's a Torah somewhere in his head. He hasn't forgotten learning. There's a chance for him to come back. He might be bad and be doing terrible things, but he's not written off just yet. He's not done. We don't give up on him just yet. Once he's mishtakchi limudo, he forgets his learning. He has no connection to Torah whatsoever, then he's done. Very, very important lesson for us to keep in mind, the power of Torah. Sometimes we don't realize how powerful it is. We say to ourselves, what does it do? It's nice, it's a mitzvah, it's a big deal. But the Torah is telling us that is what holds people together. Many people stay on the path, so to say, despite all the things they do wrong, is because they have that Torah bouncing around somewhere in the back of their mind, whatever they learned throughout their childhood and throughout their life. And that can bring them back from some of the worst places. So says Yerushalmi, he can't be deemed a Ben Sayyid Rumayr, we can't give him up until he's mishtakchi lemudah. Someone pointed out that if you look in Parshas Kiseitze, there's a lot of mitzvahs in Parshas Kiseitze. A lot of ben adam l'chaveir in Parshas Kiseitze. And in all the places where the Torah describes the mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveir, Shabbos Aveda, not taking ribbis, prika v'te'ina, all the time the Torah always adds the word achicha, your brother. Now, the Pashup Shad is because it's la'afuke, a guy. It's a din. You don't have to do this for a guy. You only have to do this for a fellow Jew. You don't have to. There's no mitzvah Shabbos Aveda's guy, and you're allowed to take ribbons from a guy, and there's no mitzvah priku te'ina for a guy. And that's why the Torah writes achicha. But this fellow wanted to tell you, I think there's a lot of truth to it. He says the Torah is saying that all these mitzvahs are be'etzem hard to do. And you're walking down the street and you see a mitzvah, the last thing you want to do is pick it up. Because then it becomes a whole handle. You gotta pick it up, you gotta see who it is, you gotta reach out to him, then you become a Shemir Aveda, which is machloikis if you're Shemir Sachar Shemir Chinam. It's just like, it's much easier just to turn the other way and make believe it's not. It's just easier. Prekovitina, you see a guy schlepping, you really want to help him? No, you want to go on your merry way and keep your life going. Ribbis? We'd love to take ribbis, right? To us, any good businessman that doesn't take ribbis is losing money. Like, why on earth would I give you my money and not make a profit on it? It doesn't make any sense. So the Torah goes out of its way to say achicha. If the case would be slightly different, and the fellow that came to you with help wouldn't be a neighbor, but he'd be your real brother, your brother, your blood brother, would you even think twice about, you know, charging ribbis? If your brother came to you and said, listen, I need $1,000, you're like, okay, I'm sorry, I love you dearly, but I have to make money off of you, so I'm going to charge you 8% interest and this and that, and you have him sign 12 pages and have everyone's lawyer read over it. You're not going to do that. He's your brother, you trust him, you care for him, you want to make sure everything's good. Says the Torah, achicha, whenever the Torah gives us a mitzvah to do something which is a little bit out of our comfort zone, the Torah is giving us a helpful tool to ensure that we do this. The Torah says, achicha, if you view this fellow like you would your own brother, your blood brother, you'd have much easier time doing these mitzvahs. Now, the Torah is telling us they're not easy necessarily to do. It's much more geshmak not to do. But the Torah is giving us, I guess, a little bit of a hint. If you want to make it a little bit more manageable, if you look at this fellow as an achicha instead of a person I never met, then it's a little easier. It doesn't make it that much easier. It's a little easier to give back. Now, someone's pointing out, you know, well, all that's going on, let's say, in Houston now, with the Jews in Houston that are suffering. You know, how many people, you know, we all got the emails about, you know, helping them, and how many people push themselves to go and help them? Because you say, they're Houston, it's far away, someone else will take care of it. But if your brother lived in Houston, and you had a family member in Houston, I'm sure you would push yourself much more, myself included. So I think the Torah is giving us a very nice tool to help us try to do chesed a lot easier, is if we view each other like a chicha. Unless you have a dysfunctional family that you don't like your brother anyways, so then maybe it's not the rule of thumb to use. Throughout the Torah, after Parshas Kiseitze, we find some very interesting prohibitions. And what I want to point out is some of the wording of the Torah. We know when the Torah uses the word toyeva, that's a big deal. It's not just don't do. Toyeva means it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views as disgusting. We know the Torah refers to that by Mishkav Zachar. homosexuality, the Torah calls it Tieva. If you look at Parashas Kiseidse, the Torah also uses that word at some very interesting points. The Torah uses Lashon Tieva. It bothers me a little bit. Why does the Torah use that strong terminology? One of the places the Torah uses it is by cross-dressing. Cross-dressing. The Torah calls that a Tieva. What's the Tieva behind cross-dressing? You know, it's disgusting maybe. So for that, I think we can explain it similar to homosexuality, possibly. It's going against the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Because we're created a world, men are supposed to do this, women are supposed to do that, they're supposed to want this, they're supposed to want that, you're supposed to look this way, and you're supposed to look that way. If you're going to start mishing around over here with changing, so to say, the teva, you say, well, I think men should look this way, I think women should look that way, that's already Takash Baruch's a teyeva.
Hashem didn't decide who wears pants, who wears
skirts. No, there are certain dress codes that women do that men don't do. Included in... No. And I'm not saying that. Klegeva, there's certain actions that are deemed usher because women do it. Shaving certain parts of the body. So once it changes over to becoming men do it, you're right, it's not usher anymore. But there are certain things, muscle, in times of the Shulchan Aruch, looking in a mirror was considered a klayisha. Now it's not. Men look in mirrors. So every time in history, you have to ask yourself, what is something that's clearly defined as a woman activity versus a man? If it changes, it does change. That's the halacha. I had a Talmud of mine who was negated to all some of these things, what changes over time? But that's a shaila. It gets complicated. But I think that's what the Torah means by te'eva. But if you continue on in the parasha, the Torah has another lashon where it talks about a te'eva. And this one is really interesting. It says in the Torah that if a person were to divorce his wife, and she marries another man, and that relationship doesn't work out, she can't come back to you. Why? Because that's a te'eva. What type of te'eva is that? You tried it, it didn't work, and she likes you better. I would have thought it's a beautiful thing. The Torah should be embrace such a thing. The couple tried, they couldn't make their marriage work. She tried someone else, she realized, hey, her first husband's not so bad. That's a bad idea. She tried another person. Well, why is it so te'eva? What's the te'eva about it? So if you look in the Sforno and the Ramban both learn, because this wasn't the way I set it up. This wasn't talking about a case where Nebuch had a couple, they tried, they went to counseling, it didn't work, they decided to let split, and they realized, no, it's much better. It says this is unbelievable. The Sforno says this. This was people who set this up l'chatchila. They said, listen, we want to come up with a permissible way to have, you know, wife swapping in a permissible way. So we're going to get married, then we're going to get divorced, you get to be with whoever you want for X amount of time, and then we'll come back again, we'll be married again. A permissible way of doing wife swapping. Before she sworn on the parasha. On that Sukhtatara, that's a teyeva. That's disgusting. That because Rokha doesn't want to hear any of
it. In a regular case, it's also
I'm not going to say it's not, you know, loy plug type of stuff. But that's the, no, but the Sforno's idea is, he learns that this is why people are doing it. You know, the reason why the Torah views it as a teyeva, because this, but again, I think that's still his explanation. Why is that a teyeva? Because again, what a person is trying to do is come up with a permissibility way to do something which is really deemed disgusting by Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's in the next teyeva in the Torah. Where's the next place we find teyeva? We find teyeva by Esnan Zoyna. What's wrong with an Esnan Zoyna? Guy, Nebuch, he went to a Zoyna, fine, but the Zoyna got some money, and now she wants to donate the money to the Beis HaMikdash. So disgusting. It's a teyeva. What, you know? It's everyone has a job, and she made a profession, she made some money, and she's giving it to Kedusha, she's giving it to the Beis HaMikdash. I don't want that. That's a Teyeva. Trying to come up with permissible ways of doing things which are deemed Teyeva in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, well, the money's not tainted, the money is money. Teyeva. That's also a Teyeva. And that's the last Teyeva in the parsha. The last Teyeva is when it comes to money. When you're not honest in business, that's also a teyeva. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I don't want your tainted, dirty money. I don't want you coming up with these loopholes of how you're allowed to, you know, live with someone else's wife with a loophole that we'll get divorced, then we'll get remarried. That's all teyeva. That's all dishonesty. All that type of dishonesty that might be done to Shema, because the guy says to himself, listen, instead of being mizana with this lady, I'll divorce my wife, and he'll divorce his wife, we'll do everything kadasa kadin, and with tzaddikim. That's a teyeva also. When you do things that you think are trying to circumvent the law, or you're doing it with a higher lishma idea, Zakhtar, that's a teyeva.
That just brings the beginning of the project into a strong contrast. The loophole
of Yifas Toya. Yeah, 100%. I think Yifas Toya needs a long discussion. But I think the Torah is telling us a very valuable lesson, which Nebuch, in our world today, we hear a lot of people, they steal from the rich and give to the poor, and they think if they steal and they give the money to Moistis and they give the money to yeshivas, it's okay to steal because I gave it to a worthy organization. The Torah calls that a teyeva. No Moisir HaTorah, no yeshiva, no shul, no organization can be built on stolen money. That's not what the Torah calls it a teyeva. If a person tries to come up with, that's what an Esnan Zoyin is. An Esnan Zoyin is a teyeva. Why is an Esnan Zoyin a teyeva? What's wrong with the money? The Torah says the way you get your money is also valued to the money. If a person gets his money illegally or not kedasu kedin, the Torah calls that a teyeva. That's what the Torah is telling us. And right after that, the Torah comes an Amalek. It's not just why are we being oppressed by our enemies? Dr. Terry Rashi said there's a reason for it. If you're going to do things shalei kedasa, then you're going to be oppressed by your enemies. So I think that when the Torah uses the lashon teyeva, it's a very powerful, strong message to us of what the Torah views as right, incorrect, what the Torah views as morally correct. And many times we live with these, you know, heterim cheshbonos. I'm doing this lashma, that lashma. I steal for this to give to that. Everything's lashma. But at the end of the day, the Torah calls it a teyeva. I think that's a very powerful word from the Torah to call something a teyeva. Okay, we left off last week where we said we're going to go weiter. So some people said, oh, they're not going to be here this week. So I said, don't worry, in this year we go weiter, we go backwards, we go sideways, we go you know, rightwards. So we'll go a little backwards, we'll go a little forward, we'll see. And Blin Eder hopefully wrap up the sugya, and Mitzvah Shem start a new sugya. I want to wrap up the sugya and really put it all together, the sugya that we learned. There's really three gemaras that we need to discuss. There's one gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Ches, the gemara in Gittin Daf Chof Aleph, and there's a gemara in Bo Metzia Daf Tes. We learned in the Gemara by us in Gittin Ayin Ches that there's two concepts in the Gemara. There's something called the Chatzar Mishtemer Shalo Daitu. You have a case where a Chatzar is guarded without the Isha's control. For example, someone else is guarding the Chatzar besides the Isha. So meaning, we're talking about the Gemara, we're talking about an Eved. An Eved's awake, and you put the Get into the Eved's hand. So the Eved is controlling the whereabouts of this Get. So that's considered a Chatzar Mishtemer Shalo Daitu. Then the Gemara told us there's another thing called a Chatzar Mahaleches. Chatzar Mahaleches means a Chatzar that moves. A Chatzar that moves is also no good. The Gemara seems to have two separate problems, to which the Gemara answers, the way you fix the problems is by two things. Either having the Eved sleep. If the Eved is asleep, so then the Eved is not guarding the object by himself because he's asleep. And you have the Eved tied up, and this way he's not moving, that fixes both problems. That's the Gemara that we had by us in Gittin Ayin Ches. We did mention that it is a Machloikis Mishoinim. The Rambam disagrees with that conclusion of the Gemara. The Rambam says you don't need both. You don't need the Eved to be sleeping and tied up. All you need is the Eved to be tied up, and that's the way the Rambam went to the Gemara. But there's another Gemara that we need to spend a little time on. There's a Gemara in Bo Metzia Daf Tes. The Gemara is not talking about an Eved. The Gemara is talking about an animal. The Gemara is talking about a case where I have an animal and I have metaltolin, and I want to be machted to you. You have an animal and metaltolin. And I want to be machted to you both the animal and the metaltolin. So the question is, what mechanism of kinyan do I use to make that happen? So the Gemara says in Daf Tes and Bo Metzia, Elamashach behem mezuv v'koni kelim shalei mahu. Let's say I tell you here's my animal. I piled up a bunch of things on the back of the animal, and I tell you, schlep the animal, make a ma'isim shich on the animal, you'll be kind of the animal, and the male, you'll be kind of the objects as well. So the Gemara has a shayla, does that work? So Rava pipes in and says, oh, I don't get the whole shayla. Omer Rava, he omer lekni behem ukni kelim, mikon kelim. Even if you'd speak out explicitly, I want to do both, would it work? Chatzah malachasi, it's a moving chatzah. The chatzah malachas loikonah. Talk to my v'chitem kishamda. Maybe you tell me the chatz is not moving. The animal is in stationary position. It doesn't matter. Rava is of the opinion that anything that could walk is no good. Everything Gemara v'hilchos abekfusa, we're talking about the animal's tied up. Now, if you noticed, the Gemara missed one step. What happened to sleeping? Why isn't the Gemara concerned about the fact? Okay, good. We're gonna get to that in a second. So the Gemara, what I'm pointing out over here is that this Gemara left out a step that the Gemara by us included. Which was, you have a problem of chotzer mishtemer shaladayt. You have a problem that the chotzer is guarded by someone else besides for the owner of the chotzer.
How does an animal have the status of a chotzer at all? I mean, this Eved is in the parish of Karka. You can see how it's a chotzer. How's an animal, either with yad or shliach, it's neither.
Why?
An animal's not yuyad.
Why can't an animal be my yad?
The yad moves independently, just like you said. Yuyad might,
just like right, so does a person.
Great, so then the weight would be a problem. So, but the fact that the weight's not a problem.
Oh, okay, good. So let's try to figure it out. Meaning, most of our sugya was discussing an Eved in the context of being a chatzar. Now we're introducing the Gemara to a different type of a chatzar, an animal that's a chatzar. So Rashi, I didn't put it on the sheet, but Rashi speaks this out, that and behemoth can also be a chatzar. Rashi speaks it out. Now, you're arguing on that premise, but Rashi speaks out that when the Torah included a chatzar, it includes animals also. But what I want to just bring out from this Gemara is that the Gemara never goes through the step about sleeping. Wait, now,
if he can be a chatzar, does that mean karka in some way, like an evidence karka?
Right, so Rashi discusses that issue about Rashi. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. Rashi, if Salavechik points out that Rashi Bamitsi was bothered with the kasha, that Avodim Ahokshu the Karkois. So if Avodim Ahokshu the Karkois, then if he's like karka, so of course he's a chatzar. So Rashi over there has a line that an evidence is not the type of karka because it's nighty, it moves. Right, it's not attached to the ground, it moves. You can pick up an Eved, you can pick up a behemoth, you can pick up an Eved. So there is such a svara that it's not exactly like karka. But Rashi says on this Gemara that your animal could be your chatz. Halacha maisa, your animal could be your chatz. If a person has a metziah,
it is like karka.
So therefore, it has the same status of a chatzah like karka, even though it moves.
So that's going to be agav. So maybe it's
yeah, yeah. So that's a separate kasha. Why wasn't it kinyan agav over there? Okay, trying not to get down that road of kinyan agav again. Right? Yeah, it could have been technically kinyan agav. Yeah, no. You make a ma'ase kinyan on the animal, and we become metal. Yeah, that's we could. Depending on how you treat it. Right.
Even if you're calling an animal chutzner, it's clearly metalphalin. It doesn't have a status of
right. Pashtus, an animal is not considered a kakel with regard to kinyan agav. That's probably true. But, yeah, it's not an Evid. Again, Evid is hukshel kakois. A behemoth is not hukshel kakois. There's no hekesh. It's only an Evid that has a hekesh. No, we're not saying he is a din chatzah. There's no din karka for chatzah. There's a shame chatzah. Look at a chatzah as an extension of your possession. Your ownership. So he's mine. My backyard is mine. My car is mine. Again, a car is a chatzah also. A car, your animal, and your backyard. So there's a third Gemara which I didn't photocopy. We spoke about it enough. Where the Gemara in Gittin Chaf Aleph goes to basically the same Gemara as us, but it leaves out the whole line about sleeping, which is the source of the Rambam why sleeping doesn't make a difference. So you could say same thing with the Gemara in Bar Metzia. The Gemara left out sleeping. The same with the Gemara in Gittin left out sleep. But if you look in the Tor in Siman Reish Beis Chayish Mishpat, the Tor seems to be more clear. The Tor writes, "V'loimi boizel afilu hiknol abehema v'akelim." Let's say a person wants to sell animal and kelim. U'mashach abehema. And he makes a nice mshicha on the animal. The kono loy kana hakelim shalev mshichase. That nice mshicha on the animal will not give you the kelim. Why? When we tam chatzer nami loy kono. Why don't you get it as chatzer? Demalachasi, because it's a moving chatzer. Ve'ine kene afilu amda. And even if the animal would be standing, it's no good. Ela imken hoyse kfusa, unless the animal is tied up. The oz havik chatzer, then it becomes like a chatzer. So it sounds like from the tour that he understood the gemara ba metzia kipshutoi. All you need is tied up, nothing more, nothing less. Sounds like he doesn't need sleeping at all. The problem is, so you'll say, oh, the Torah held like the Rambam. The Torah is at the sheet of the Rambam, and you never need sleeping, all you need is tied up. But there's a problem. If you look at number four, the Torah writes a little later, Hichzik ba'avadim, loy kana ha-metaltan. If a person wants to make a ma'aseh kinyan on an Eved, and by that, be kana metaltan also, it doesn't work. Elem kein, hein agabe Eved, unless they're on top of the Eved. V'ushiyeh kafus, and the Eved has to be tied up. V'gam yosham, and the Eved also has to be sleeping. Sha'oz ain't a kind of a Torah's chatzer, because then it will work as chatzer. So here the Torah writes explicitly, you need to be sleeping. So frekti beis Yosef, 1 second. Why is it that when it comes to a behemoth, there's no mention of sleeping? Yet when it comes to an Eved, also now he needs to be sleeping. What happened? If you hold like the Rambam that you don't need Mishtam, you don't need Yoshon, so you never need Yoshon. Why sometimes yes, sometimes no?
Maybe
it's Zokti beis Yosef over here, number five. He writes, V'teimani al-Rabbeinu, she'kosev b'samach gabi Eved, the kofas of Yoshon binon. When it comes to an Eved also, and the Torah writes, you need both. Covers v'yoshim. The kana hitzvich elo shaitzik kfusa. And over here, when it comes to a behema, the Rambam says the Torah says you only need tied up. V'shem asvir le'davku l'gabi evet shu ben das. Says the Beis Yosef, I'll tell you the pshat. Because when is chasa meshtemes a problem? That's when the other person has some form of knowledge. Then lo yisagi b'kovz will be the namish yoshim. Al gabi behemta, when you're dealing with an animal, she'enei bas das, whose bechlau has no idea of what's going on, then b'kfusa sagi. Then it's good enough with kfus. So what's the Beis Yosef saying, at least in the Torah Shita? He's saying, and this is also found in the Teisur Rosh and Bar Metzia Daf Tes. The Teisur Rosh also says this pshat. That when you're dealing with an animal, there's never a chasar in Chatz Mishtameres. Because what's Chatz Mishtameres? Chatz Mishtameres is someone else is guarding it. No one else is guarding it. The animal has no idea what it's doing. So therefore, Zok Tetur, by an animal, there's never a problem with Chatz Mishtameres. If there's never a problem with Chatz Mishtameres, you don't need sleeping. You can go back to where the Chatz Malachas, all you need is tied up. But I want to go back for a second. I just want to go back that I think there's a very big chiddush in this comment of the Beis Yosef. And I think there's Rishonim who will disagree. Firstly, if you look over here, number 6 in Rashi, there's a Rashi in Bar Metzia, that Rashi says, what's wrong with the Chatzer Mahalachas? So we mentioned many times already, what's wrong with the Chatzer Mahalachas, according to most Rishonim, it's not Deimet Tiyat. Rashi and Bab Metzia seems to not learn like that. Rashi and Bab Metzia, the Meir and Baba Kamba, they learn differently. What do they say? We don't know that a chatzim alechas works. Why? The chi is raboi. When did we include the concept of a chatzir? Maybe matzim also be from that pasuk. That's gaga chatzir v'kafifa is raboi. We included a backyard and a courtyard. The loy nayid, because they don't move. The havi mishtamer in their garden. So the achrenim say, oh, Rashi held that the reason with a chatzim alechas is it's a chatzir she'ena mishtameres. If that's true in Rashi, so then 1 second, something doesn't make sense. Because if you hold like the Beis Yosef, then animals don't have a problem of Eina Mishtameris, so then animals shouldn't have a problem of a Chatzah Mahalachas. So when the Gemara had a kasha by the animal, Aitza Chatzim Alechas. According to Rashi, what's the Gemara's kasha? Chatzim Alechas is not an independent problem. Chatzim Alechas is a fancy way of saying it's not Mishtameris. But if animals never have a problem with a Mishtameris, then what was the Gemara's kasha?
You can say Rashi's just saying it's just, it doesn't have a shame chatzim because it's not domed to what's in the pasuk.
But why? What's the element that it's missing? So Rashi Sheina for having Mishtamer. Yeah. I agree. That loy naid part is could be another. Could be. Right. So if you're willing to accept the notion that Rashi really believes this, and that Chareinim think this, and Rashi that Rashi really believes, if you ask Rashi why is a Chatzim Alechas no good, Rashi will tell you, you know why? Because it ain't a Mishtameris. So if that would be the case, and Rashi were to assume like the Beis Yosef, so then the Gemara in Bar Mitzvah makes no sense. Because the Gemara in Bar Mitzvah was talking about an animal, and the Gemara in Akash, ay, it's a Chatzim Alechas. But if Chatzim Alechas is just a fancy word for Chatzim She'ena Mishtameris, and an Eina Mishtameris is not a problem by an animal, the Gemara has no Kash. So I would say that Rashi argues. The reason why I don't like to say that Rashi argues is because if you remember, we had a Rashi a long time ago, where how did Rashi learn Chatzim Mishtameris? Rashi learned She'ena Mishtameris means not, we're not worried that the object is not watched. We don't want that there's another brain focusing in on this. So that would be Rashi's lumnus. It would not make a lot of sense that an animal is not another brain watching it. Now, you're not going to say that, oh, well, I'm watching it and the animal's guarding it. The animal's not guarding it. The animal is not putting his das about the weird. It's not like the animal is consciously deciding, I'm not going to take this and throw it. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to destroy it. I'm going to guard it until the owner says it's time to give it up. The animal's not doing that. So Rashi understood that Chatzim Mishtameris Shalodaiti means that you can't be you have to be the sole brain power on this object. If there's another brain power on it, you're out. So then this is very mistavra. Yeah, and the animal's not another brain power on it. The animal has no brain power on it.
No fences or anything, but there's a guard on there. You have to
use Chayre not. Again, for Gerish not, for Mecha Chomemka, you don't need Mishtameris. But yeah, according to this, it would not be Mishtameris. Unless you'll tell me that the lady can shoo the dog away. Yeah, I don't think it matters. I think that's not the good Isha. The Isha is not the sole decider of what goes in and out of this Chatzar, what happens to things in the Chatzar. It's an animal. So that's, if you hold, like, not like that. According to the Beis Yosef, it's not true. According to the Beis Yosef, it doesn't matter. According to Beis Yosef, an animal is not an entity. It doesn't do anything. It's a passive das, and therefore, it's not a problem. The Cheshbon, I think it would come out that if Rashi were to accept this, I think Rashi should accept an alumnus, but then Rashi can't stem with the Gemara. So you got to pick your battle of which part of Rashi you want to accept. Either you want to assume Rashi doesn't really mean it, or you want to assume that Rashi argues in the Beis Yosef. Rashi's svara makes a lot of sense. You'll have to come up with another pshat, how to work it out. It just makes very nice into the Gemara why this Gemara B'Metzia leaves out that step, why the Gemara B'Yos includes that step. Okay. Let's pick up where we left off last week. I wanted to throw in something new so people shouldn't think I didn't prepare all week. Okay. There's a Rambam over here. We left off with a Rambam over here in Hilchos Gerushin. There's a Rambam over here in Perakei Halach Yud Ches. The Rambam writes like this. Kosev aget nosta bi'aravdei. If a person writes a get, and he puts it in his own Evet's hand. Not her Evet, his Evet. The Kosel lo shtar matanol, and he decides he's going to write a shtar where he's gifting the Isha his Evet. This is his Evet, he owns it. And now he's giving it over to her, and the Evet's holding on to the get. And now she'll get the whole package. She'll get the Evet with the get in hand. Zogti Rambam, kivin she zochsav Evet, zochsav get. It's perfect. She gets the Evet, she gets the get. Min iskarshon, she's divorced, im hayu kofus. If he's tied up. He's not tied up, he's a chatzim alechas. Now the Rambam doesn't say anything about sleeping, because the Rambam holds you don't need sleeping. That was the Rambam l'shitasei halacha before. Zogti Rambam, that's the easy part in the Rambam. What happens if the Evid is not tied up? Veneer, and he's awake. You have two things going bad for you.
Why do you need both?
Yeah. According to Rambam, you just need one.
One or the other.
Right.
No, because according to the Rambam, if he were to be sleeping, the Rambam would hold midaraisa, would be not a chatzim alechas. That was the Rambam from... The Rambam in Halach Yed Zayin has a chiddush that if he's sleeping... and he's not tied up, midaraisa, that's not a chatzim alechas. We'll come back to that Rambam in a few minutes, I hope. We had a machlokes achrayim had to learn the Rambam. So, Dr. Rambam, what happens if it's not a good... I mean, this Evet can't be a chatzim. He's awake, he's not tied up, he's the worst chatzim in the world. He can't be a chatzim. So what happens then, Dr. Rambam? Then, konso Evet, the Isha's kind of the Evet, that doesn't change. He wrote a stam atonah, gave it to the Isha. The Eidah migrashes, but she won't be divorced, ad she yegia get liyodo, until the get gets to her hand. That's the Rambam. So the kasha that the Rashba has on the Rambam, he says, 1 second, I don't understand. That's Talikitach Nagabe Karka. Where's the Maisa Nesina from the Baal to the Isha? we learned a lot about this idea that there has to be a direct giving from me to you and nothing in between. I can't put the get down on a public...
Maybe that comes to a hand in a legitimate way. So however it comes...
Again, the mashmois of the Rambam sounds... Actually, a gear get liyodi is not the right wording. It sounds like the end result is get to her. That's not the point is not get to her. The point is give it back to man. Man gives it to her. Actually, a gear get liyodi sounds like all we care about is that this get somehow ends up by her. We don't care how. Of course we care how. Because when you put the get into the hand of the Eved, you basically made an invalid mice in the Sina. So now, if let's say somehow the get gets to her because the Eved picks it up and brings it to her, that's not a good get. That's Tligidech Megabekaka. That would be the same thing as if the husband took the get, threw the middle of the street, and told the wife, come get.
But she's in control of taking it. Because
why?
She decided to take the
Eved. No, but again, who? Where's the mice in the Sina? Let's look at it.
You didn't tell her to do that. It was like, can we get the right to go?
Right.
Right.
So what's wrong with that?
So he's in control. She's the one that's active in
the Nesina.
In Nesina.
Right over here also.
Well, no, because she.
Again, let's go back. If we learn Tligidich as a chesaron and the mice in Nesina, which we've talked a lot about, this idea of how do you give. So to me, it looks exactly the same thing. The husband gave the get to a domain which does not qualify for a mice in Nesina. But then the get ended up by her. So why should that be good enough? It should be lacking. That's the Rajab's kasha. The Rajab says he doesn't understand the Rambam, and therefore the Rajab seemingly disagrees with the Rambam and says in such a case, he'd have to give it back to the husband, the husband would have to re-give it to the Isha. The Beis Shmuel over here, number 8, he doesn't understand the Rajab. He says, Rajab, you're so troubled by this Rambam, but I'll ask you a stiro in Rajab itself. The Beis Shmuel says, Avala Rajab v'aran, v'stapku b'zeh. The Rajab and the Ran are both Masupik. We mentioned this last week. The Magid Mishnah also quotes that the Rajab was Masupik. We brought the Rajab inside in Chaf Aleph. He didn't sound like he's Masupik. He sounded like he adamantly disagrees with this halach of the Rambam, and he thinks it is Tlegitech. Other Achrayim, I'm not sure, maybe they had a different gear, so they thought the Rajab wasn't convinced. He was like Masupik. Maybe it's Tlegitech. But the way we have it, it seems to be pretty clear that it is Tlegitech. So it's Dr. Beishumul that the Rajab holds you have to give it again. But he says, I don't understand. In Simekuf Lamites, when the Mechaber is discussing a similar case, what's the case? Let's say you have a case where the Isha has a chatzar, beautiful chatzar, terrific chatzar, real chatzar, not moving property, but the Isha is not near the chatzar. It's not Mishtemesh L'dayte. She's 2 blocks away. It's open, no one's guarding it, no security, nothing. It's just an open chatzar and the Isha is 2 blocks away. The husband drops the get into the chatzar when she's not there. She walks 2 blocks down, now she's standing next to her chatzar. The husband's standing and he says, Harei Zagitech! So Dr. Rajba, that's a good get. So, effective, Shmuel, 1 second. If you're not willing to accept the case of the Rambam, where the husband made a Maisa Nesina, which was an invalid Nesina, why are you willing to accept the case where he made a Maisa Nesina to a Chasa Sheina Mishtameris? A Chasa Sheina Mishtameris is an example of an invalid Maisa Nesina. A Chasa Sheina Mishtameris is not a Chasa. So, frekt the Beis Shmuel, you the Rajba, how are you going to ask a kash on the Rambam when you yourself buy into this notion that you can make a bad mice in the Sina and somehow fix it later? Why is this case different than that? That's the kasha of the Beis Shmuel.
You could make some kind of a argument that it's one long Nesina. He gave it into that chatzah. That's still the Nesina.
Okay.
He can relate back.
Okay.
Here it has to be a separate thing.
Okay, good. So I think totally that's broken. The Beis Shmuel's answer. I think that's what the Beis Shmuel means. The Beis Shmuel answers this kasha with something along those lines. Rabbi Asher Weiss, Ibn Chazasha, also says he doesn't exactly understand what he thinks the Beis Shmuel means. He says a pshat, but I think that's what, if we read the words, that's what it sounds like. If you look at the end of Beis Shmuel, number 8, he says like this. What's the difference? So he uses a zaloshim where he says, Avagav, 3 lines in, Avagav the Svirle Le'el, Reish Simekuf Lamates, in Nosn L'chatzeri V'Lehois HaShom, even though the Rajab himself agrees that if the husband would drop the get in a chatzah where she's not guarding it, and then the Isha would come to the chatzah and say, Hagitech, it works. Then they don't need no maisa nesina. That's where I made the nesina to the right place. At the time, it wasn't fully functioning, but it was the right place. That's the words. Ki'ilo nosin liyoda. It's like I gave it. V'achshav hi ba'al l'sham b'gureshes. And now you make it all together. Aval kan, but in this case, adayin ho eved ain't a kufus. In this case, the eved is not yet tied up. The eved right now is a completely invalid procedure. Nishma mizehim eved achkach hu kufus v'yei medes atzloi v'aget adayin b'yad eved m'gureshes. Again, so Rabbi Shavais' kasha is, But what's the difference? Right now, they're both invalid destinations. Because this needs a little bit more work, this needs a little less work, this needs her standing, this needs to be tied up. Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the location where you dropped it is an invalid drop box. So why should it matter? It will become valid. This will, yeah, so and it becomes become valid. You tie him up, and now it becomes valid. So he doesn't understand this Beis Shmuel's teretz between the two cases. So instead, he comes up with a whole different mahalach, which is very relevant to what we've been talking about for the last few weeks at least. He says, you have to ask yourself, is the chesaron of a chatzar mahalaches the exact same chesaron of a chatzar she'ena mishtameres? The Rashba, the Beis Shmuel's kasha is assuming that the whatever doesn't work for a chatzar mahalaches has the same rules for a chatzar she'ena mishtameres. So when the Rashba says zalocha by ena mishtameres, ena mahalaches, they should all be the same. Says Rav Ashwais, mehechetesa. Maybe the Rashba learned that they're two separate, independent chesaronos, and they have different reasons behind them, which is something we discussed many times. You mentioned the Rush and others. So the Rav Ashwais says it, he writes like this in number 9. He says, "All the shani chotzer mahalach and mechotzer she'ena mishtameres. The chotzer mahalach is gerit tfei." The Rashba will tell you when you make an asina to a chotzer mahalach, that's a lot worse than making an asina to a chotzer she'ena mishtameres. I'll tell you what's the difference. Not a chotzer, not a chotzer. Not an asina is not an asina. He says, "No, the ain lo din chotzer klal. It's bechlal not a chotzer. Ube mahuso ain it doy miliyat. The kivin she'en a chotzer ruy the kinyan af nasina ain kan." He says, because it's so far removed from being your chatzar, not only can't you make a kinyan in this place, you can't even call this your place. A chatzar she'enam, a chatzar ma'aleches, is not the pshat, and this is, he says later on that he was happy to see that Reb Chaim uses the same terminology, and this is really the chakira of the day. Let's talk about a chatzar ma'aleches. Chatzar ma'aleches is no good. So that can mean one of two things. It can either mean it's not your possession, although I own it, and legally my backyard is my backyard. For Torah purposes, this is not your backyard. That's one way of understanding the chesaron in a chatzar mahalaches. The other tzad, Reb Chaim says it is, avad, it's your backyard. But it's not, doesn't have the ability to make kinyanim for you. The Torah limited and gave rules to what's kaina, what's not kaina. The Torah says, yes, this is your backyard, it's your rishus, it's your address, but you don't have the right to make kinyanim in it. That's Reb Chaim's chakir, which Moshe Weiss is referencing to over here. So how does that make sense? So if you understand that a chatzar mahalaches is a pshat, that it's not your backyard, so not only am I not kaina to get, you can't call this an asina l'rishusi. You never gave it to the Isha. This is not her backyard. Although it looks like her backyard, this is not her backyard. But if a chatzar mahalaches dipshad, it's your backyard, but you don't have the right to make a kinyan with it, so then it's enough to be mekayim v'nasan. I made an asina l'rishusa. I fulfilled the ratzon ha'Torah. The Torah says, deliver the get to her rishusa. I did that. I am not kinyan. Who needs kinyan? According to the Tzitzit, you never need kinyan, right? So that's a fulfillment of v'nasan.
Right, then you do.
Yeah, it's Rishusa.
No, so according to that, there should be no chesaron.
Well, what's that?
If you don't need kinyan, then there should be right away.
So that's what we need to talk about. When we get to Reb Chaim, we're going to have to add Vor from Rebaran. That Rebaran said, and Reb Chaim says in other places, that there's two, we'll call it steps or ways to make chelos geirushin. You have to have a mice and a sina, and you also have to have a kinyan. So the chiddush of the Rambam is that even though you don't have both parts together, but since you had a valid nesina, now you just need a valid kinyan. You put the two together and everything's preached. So the answer to the ktois might tell you. Yeah, we'll have to see how to work the ktois, but we'll see in a minute when we get to Reb Chaim. So that's Reb Asher Weiss's premise. But Reb Chaim is going to break it down one more level than this, but I just want to work with this for a second. The way Reb Asher Weiss splits it is the chatzar mahalaches has one problem, and the chatzar she'ena mishtameres has a different problem. Which one's worse, the way Reb Asher Weiss says it, is that a chatzar mahalaches is worse. Why? Because the chatzar is a chatzar nisht. A moving chatzar is a steer to being a chatzar. One of the basic premises of a chatzar is it doesn't move. You're asking, what's a chatzar? What's a backyard? Doesn't move. Oh, that's it. What's a chatzar? What's the definition of a chatzar? The definition of a chatzar is not a chatzar that needs to be guarded all the time. That's a din in the chatzar. It needs to be a mishtameres. So he says, im kain. So then the Rashba is moving. When the Rashba comes to the Rambam's case, the Eved was untied and the Eved was awake. That's the highest level of mahalachas. The Rashba will tell you, a moving chatzar is out. It's not a chatzar. It's not even a mice in the sina. It's garnished. Nothing. It's a non-active area at all. Mashenka, when the Rashba got to his case of Eina Mishtameres, the Rashba said, Eina Mishtameres? That's still your rishus. I'm not going to say it's not your rishus. You can't make a mice of Kenyan there. I agree. But it's still your rishus. And therefore, once you'll come and you'll be able to connect the two actions, then it works. Atkan, that's the pshat he says. Which means it comes out an interesting thing. We mentioned earlier that the Rosh has a shtickle, that the Rosh understood that a chatzar mahaleches is possible from Xeris HaKasav, and a chatzar mishtameres is possible because of a svar. The Rosh said, a chatzar mishtameres is a svar. I don't want my objects being in places where they're not guarded. From Moshe Weiss, it sounds a little differently. He's learning it. It's not a, It's not a kasha. That wasn't the Rosh, this is the Rashi, but it could be a machlokes rishonim. Could be there's a fundamental machlokes rishonim. How to define a chatzar shein mishtameres? The Rosh says the chatzar shein mishtameres is a psychological thing. I don't want my chatzar being kind of things that are not guarded by me. That's the logic. Mashiach, according to the Rashba, the Pshad is it's just chatzanish. This is not a chatzar. So it's a machlokes rishonim, and I had to understand the chatzar shein mishtameres. What's more interesting is we had a Taz. The Taz learned mamish lehepach. The Taz learned in the Rambam Shita that a chatzar mahaleches is not a psul deraisa. We mentioned this last week. The Taz had a mahalach to learn in Rambam that the whole problem of moving is only derabbanan. Midiraisa, there's nothing wrong called chatzar mahaleches. Now that's mamish lehepach in the Rishonim now. According to Rav Asher's wise understanding of the Rashba, it comes out a huge machlokes Rishonim between the Rambam and the Rashba, how to understand chatzar mahaleches. According to the Rashba, chatzar mahaleches is the worst type of chatzar. While according to the Taz and the Rambam, it's so good, it's even kind of midiraisa. So you might have the two opposite extremes in the Rishonim to how they understood what's wrong if a chatzar moves. According to the Rashba, it's so not chatzar, it can't make a kinyan, it can't even make a nesina. While in the Rambam's world, according to the Taz, it's not such a good chatzar, midiraisa, it's kinyan. It's not kinyan. So you have the opposite extremes in Rishonim, according to this Mahalach, and how to understand the chatzar Mahalachas. Okay. So again, just to Reb Asher, why says Mahalach is being mechalach between a chatzar Mahalachas and a chatzar she'ena mishtameres? Reb Chaim, which we still need to see, he goes a different route. Reb Chaim is not discussing a chatzar Mahalachas versus a chatzar she'ena mishtameres. Reb Chaim is discussing a chatzar Mahalachas. When you talk about a chatzar Mahalachas, a moving chatzar, so Reb Chaim, what's wrong with a moving chatzar? This is the Chakir we keep on referencing. Now we'll see it inside Reb Chaim in stencil, where Reb Chaim discusses what exactly is a chatzar Mahalach. So Reb Chaim says like this, Hine. All those chaterim that the halacha is they're not kainah, kegoin chatzim halachas ve'enim mishtam ladas habaylim. See, Reb Chaim put the two together. Reb Asher Weiss was machalik between the two. Reb Chaim says the same. Chatzim halachas, chatzim she'enim mishtam ladas, all the same question. Whenever you have a chatzim which the Torah invalidates for whatever reason, ve'enim mishtam ladas v'leisa bakorcha yesh lachka. So Reb Chaim, you have to understand. Im heim magirim koich ha-chatzim d'leimiku yad klal, is the pshat that they're not called the chatzim. A chatzar that's moving is not called a chatzar. A chatzar that you're not guarding is not called a chatzar. The lav dumi diyadu. It's not at all comparable to the concept of yad, and therefore it's not included in a chatzar. Your chatzar is your backyard. It's you. It's your extension. It's your possession. It's your backyard. El da have a chasar ba hayad. The pshat is, this is your yad. This is your extension. But this extension has a flaw to it. So what? The yad kazu ain't a kaina. This type of a yad, in this type of situation, lacks the ability to make a kinyan. But to say it's not your hand? Of course it's your hand. Your backyard is your hand. And your pet is your hand. And everything is your hand. But such a pet in such a situation can't be kinyan. That's Reb Chaim's chakir. Zogt Reb Chaim, v'nir de tolu b'zeh. Zogt Reb Chaim, this is tolu in the machloikis v'shoinim. Like every good chakir, it's tolu in the machloikis v'shoinim. What's the machloikis v'shoinim, Zogt Reb Chaim? It depends on why you reject the chatzim alechas. Why did the Rishonim reject the idea of a chatzim aleches? So Reb Chaim explains: Im hachasarin ain't shaych biyad v'leisa biyad at chatzim ki agav ne'ein ayad klal to lo hevidum diyad. Avu machasarin shaych gam biyad. If this is something that could be true by a yad also, you can have a yad that has this chasarin and it will still be called a yad, a real yad. Then you can have this by a chatzim as well. Ubiyad kaze gam ki ain't a kain idea chasarin gam. Gam gabe chotzer mikuyat. Davidum diyad. Ve'ine kainim shel nafich chasarim biyad gufo diyad kaze ine kain. So Zogt Reb Chaim, you have to ask yourself, can I have a similar chasarim, not by a chotzer, but by my own hand? Will I ever have a situation where my hand will be moving, and yet my hand will still be kainah? Or, I'm sorry, can I have a situation where my hand is still moving, but will still be called my hand? Can I have a situation where my hand is not guarded by me, but will still be called my hand? Zogt Reb Chaim, I think it's machlokes rishonim. Why? V'ini b'toisus pirshu b'kamim mekaynus the chatzim aleches ain't a kain mishum doleh v'dum yediyat. Toisus says in many places that the reason why a chatzim aleches is no good because it's not comparable to yad doleh naidi because hands don't move v'ini mahalach kibolov, it doesn't move. Ayin Reb Kivegi, we spoke about that Toisus above Mitzir already a few weeks ago. Zogt Reb Chaim v'hainu duhu chasaron ki chatzim the mashvi le doleh v'dum yediyat v'ini yad kla. Zogt Reb Chaim, Toisus held that when you talk about a chatzim aleches, it's the pshat that this chatzir is not comparable to yad, therefore not included in yad, and therefore not a place at all to be called your backyard. Achein, Zogt Reb Chaim, Rashi b'reish b'mitzir daftes, t'ha de chatzim aleches ein ikein, mishun de ein mishtam ladas b'aylem, v'chason zeh shaych b'yad gufa. Zogtub Chaim, but Rashi learned not like that. Rashi learned the chesaron of a mahalechis is not the chesaron that a mahalechis is chotzernish. That's not a chotzer. It's the problem that it's not mishtamal das bailim. The gam chotzer bechesaron zed dumidiyadu. Reb Chaim learning in Rashi, the Rashi is not negating the idea that a chotzer mahalechis is an extension of Yerushas. It's an extension of Yerushas, but it lacks a specific problem that invalidates its ability to make kinyonim. El de ene kainibomishim, the gam yad ene kainibomishim. You can have a hand that's not guarded by you. And a hand that's not guarded by you will still be called your hand. It just won't have the ability to be kainah. Zogt Reb Chaim, that's what Rashi would hold. So Hayyitz alone from Reb Chaim, it comes out that this shayla, this chakira, of whether or not it would be considered enough to make a mice in the sina to her rishus, would be telling us machlokes Rashi and Taisvus. Zogt Reb Chaim, that's the answer for the Rashi's kash. The Rashi's kash we started off with was, how does the Rambam hold your yaitz in the nesina? It's not in the sina rishusai. Zogt Reb Chaim, of course it's in the sina rishusai. If you learn the chesaron and chatzim aleches is that it's yad. But a yad like this can't make a mice a kinyan, so then it's good enough to make a mice in the sina there. If it's good enough to make a mice in the sina, then you yates in the sina. I'll ask me, how do you have in the sina without a mice a kinyan? So Rabbi Aaron has another piece where Rabbi Aaron says every gerushin has two parts to it. There's the venosan, and then there's the biyode. You make a mice in the sina, and there's a mice a kinyan. So Dr. Baron, over here, we just spread out some time between the two parts, but we have both components. Both components are here. It's considered a good get.
Is that really true? Could you really say there's a valid mice in the sina when there's no possibility of the one accepting it?
Well, I'd say more than that. I'd say it's hard to say it's a mice in the sino to a reshusoy that can't make a mice a kinyan.
There's no
possibility.
Right?
Correct.
But it doesn't felt in the
Nesina. Well, what does it mean in the Nesina? The Torah didn't say, give it to the Gabbai in the shul and let him put it on the bima. The Torah said, Vinosan the Rishusai, which we speak about a lot, that it's a place where she could be kainah.
Right.
So that's a kasha shtick on this Reb Chaim, is that, why is this called a Vinosan? Because it's her backyard. That's not the definition of a nasan. The definition of a nasan is a rishusai that she could technically be kinda, whether she needs to or not to. I am ktsais, but it's an asin al rishus that shayach to her. The argument one can make is, what does it mean to be her rishus if she's not kinda with it? And that's a deeper shayla.
You can look at it this way: you did your part. You gave it over there.
No, right, what's her? What's her? What does it mean you gave it to her? What's her? You put it in her backyard. But what make? But why is the backyard hers? How do we define ownership? Meaning, if my backyard is my.
They can't do a kinyan for, but at the end of the day, it's still hers.
Yeah.
She still owns it.
But again, when
you put it into something that belongs to her,
but not owner. No, she doesn't own it. She doesn't own it. No, right now she doesn't own it. You made a mice in the sina to rishus, that she can't be kainah. When the Torah says make a sina to her rishus, what does that word mean, rishus? Does that mean what's technically on the legal documents, her rishus? Or that's a place where she can be kainah things? When the Torah says v'nasim biyodeh, why did the Torah say that? This is something we talk about a lot here. Why did the Torah say biyodeh is a drop-off zone? Was that because it was a nice place to do it? Or the Torah says, I want you to give it to a place that has a kayach to make kinyon? If that would be true, then Reb Chaim's hard to understand. This is not a place that has a kayach to make kinyon. So Reb Chaim will tell you that's not what the Torah wanted. The Torah said, give it to a place that's called her rishus. It's called her backyard, legally, not halachically, legally. If you look at a legal document, her backyard extends another 20 feet. Maybe. I think that's what Reb Chaim would have to tell you. The problem that I have with Reb Chaim, it's not a kasha, it's an aura, I think, on Reb Chaim. Besides the lumdus of Reb Chaim, is I think it's a stira to a Rashi Baba Kama. According to Reb Chaim is learning that Rashi holds a chotzer mahaleches is a chotzer. It's a chotzer, but it doesn't have the ability to make kinyana. If you look at number 11, Rashi writes, Chotze malachasi, ain't a kaina labale klum, the lav chotzehi, the malachas. It's not a chotze when it's moving. So those words of Rashi sound more than just, it doesn't have the ability to make kinyonim. It sounds like the lav chotzehi.
That's what he's defining as a chotze.
I'm not saying it's a shtaka kasha Reb Chaim. I think you could pshat a lot of it. Rashi means, the lav chotzehi means with regard to kinyon. But again, I think when Rashi added those words, the lav chotzerhi, those were additive words that Rashi didn't use. He could have just wrote, ain't a kainal baleha. It's not, you can't make kinyonim.
I've got. Defining a chotzer not as your property, as some, that's what the sine qua non of a chotzer.
But that's not true.
Place that can make,
but that's not true in Rashi. That's what I was saying in Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is saying in Rashi, it's not true. Reb Chaim is saying in Rashi that you can be a chotzer, have the ability to not make kinyonim, and still be called a chotzer. That's what he said in Rashi. So if Rashi learned like that, then I don't know why Rashi threw those words, the lav chotzer he. Why would Rashi say it's not a chotzer? Of course it's a chotzer. It looks like a chotzer, it smells like a chotzer, it just doesn't have the ability to be kaina. So this Rashi in Baba Kama a little throws me off, that Rashi over here doesn't stim so nicely with the way Reb Chaim sets up Rashi, because according to Reb Chaim, based on Rashi in Baba Metzia, it comes out that a chotzer mahaleches is not a chotzer for kinyan, but it still has a shame chotzer. This Rashi is a shtickle mashman. Okay, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think you can present a lot of it, but that's the aura on Rashi, on Reb Chaim. Okay, Adkan, that sugya. I think we spent enough time. Let's move on to a new sugya. Okay. I think Malachas and we're good with Mishnah Meris now for a while. Okay, let's start the new Mishnah on Ein Chet. Zok the Mishnah. This is a rarity, learning a new Mishnah here. Okay, Haisa Imedes B'Shusser Rabbim. Mishnah talks about an interesting case over here. Now we're going to get into a whole new realm. If you think we're going to get away from the Bab Metzia sugyas, we're not getting away from Bab Metzia. We're just moving one Amud over. Till now we learned Daf Tesis Bab Metzia, now we're going to learn Daf Yudim Bab Metzia. So we're not getting away from any of the Bab Metzia discussion. It's going to follow us along our way down Gittin. But let's learn the Mishnah, and we'll see some of the issues on the Mishnah. Dr. Mishnah, Haisa Imedes B'Shusser Rabbim. Let's say she's standing in the Shusser Rabbim, the Zorka law. A woman standing in the Shusser Rabbim, the husband throws the get to her in the Shusser Rabbim. So Dr. Mishnah, Kara of law, Megureshes. If the get is closer to her, she's divorced. Now this is going to be the sugya of Dalai Ramas that we're going to have to spend many weeks with Mr. Shem on. Kara of loy, the get's closer to him, in the Megureshes, then they're not divorced. We shouldn't have a kash over here that if it's Dalai Ramas, it doesn't matter if it's close or not. As long as it's not within her four Amas, who cares where it is? Why is it important to have Kara of law? Who cares if it's closer to him? He could be in another side of the world, but if it's not within her Dalai Ramas, then there's no kidding Dalai Ramas. So we shine the Master Kasha. I didn't put it on this sheet.
Both within the same
Dalai. Yeah, that's what we're going to get to. That's the whole discussion of in the Gemara, is if they're in the same Dalai Ramas. So let's read right. There's Dr. Gemara, Eidem Megureshes. Mechzal Mechza, half and half, which the Gemara is going to have three pshatim. What exactly does it mean to be half and half? How exactly does that work? So then it's Megureshes, Eidem Megureshes. That's a Suffolk divorce. The Chayin and Kedushin. You have the same type of situation with Kedushin. Husband throws Kedushin to the wife. If it's closer to her, she's married. Lucky her. If it's closer to him, she's not married. And so far, and if it would be half and half, it would be Safek Kedushin. V'chein le'inyin ha'choif. Similar idea if you have a choif. What's a choif? Omol ba'choivoi. Zorek li choivi. Pay me up. Pay me my money. So v'zark aloi. And presumably the malve, the loive throws to the malve the money he owes him. So karev l'malve, tzach l'malve. If he throws the money, and it's in the Dalai Lama said the malve gets his payment. Karev l'loive, if it was closer to the loive, ha'loive chayev. We'll see what it means, chayev. What was the loive chayev? Mechza l'mechza, if it's 50-50, shnei mechloiku, they split. Okay. Just a hakdoma to this sugyo, is the Gemara says about Metzia, that Dalai Lama said the Tekanas Chazal. They're misakin et leisil and suye. So people shouldn't kill each other, jumping and fighting for lost objects in the street. This way, it's in your four Amas, you get it. Adkan, that's it, nothing more, nothing less. Don't fight for it and punch each other to get the lost object. If it's in your four Amas, Dalai Lama Shalom Kaino. Is Machlokes in Gemara B'Metzia Daf Yud, is it B'Rishus Rabbim? Or only B'Tzidi Rishus Rabbim? B'Simta in other places, too dangerous Rishus Rabbim, too much traffic, so it's only B'Simta. Obviously, our Gemara sounds like we're talking about Rishus Rabbim, so we hold it Rishus Rabbim. The problem is that Taisus over there B'Metzia Daf Yud has a kash. Taisus has a kash more among Subis that it sounds like when you're talking about Gneva, you're not kind of Dalai Lamas by Gneva. So Taisus says, yeah, because Dalai Lamas is not a Dindaraisa, it's Dindarabban. The Rabban only gave it what they wanted to. They didn't give you Dalai Lamas to enable you to do an Avera. They didn't give you Dalai Lamas to make you a Ganav. They only gave it by Metzia. So for Taisus, what do you do with Agamar? So why did they give you by Nisha? So Taisus says, it's Iguna. Because of Iguna, Chazal gave you this Milo, this leniency called Dalai Lamas. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to have to get to what the lumnus of Dalai Lamas is. That's going to be the Rishonim over here. Three Pshatim and Rishonim. How Dalai Lamas works in Lumbus. Good, you tell me Chazal said it. So now what? How does that work for Gershon? The bigger kash is, how does a Kinyan Rabbanon help for Deraisa? You're telling me now that if I throw a get into a public area within the four Amos of the Isha, so Chazal say Dalai Lamas is Kaina. I'm very happy for Chazal. But the Torah says you need to make a Nisina of the Rishusa. As far as the Torah is concerned,
no, that's considered a Rishus.
That's Midr Rabbanon. What about the Torah? That's very nice. I'm happy that the Rabbanim decided that, but the Torah never decided that. As far as the Torah is concerned, public area is public area. So she's divorced mid Rabbanim. How does it?
No, maybe Pshat is that the Rabbanim made it that it's her. You know, it's but her. Again, Dalai Lama's mom. Sure,
good. I'm okay with that. But again, it's still going to be on the Rabbanim level, right?
No, they made Cain Daraisa.
Okay, good. So that's already getting lumbish now. Now we got to have to. Now we're okay. Good. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to see different nuschois and rishonim to have the mechanics work over here for a kinyan derabbanon. This is the older kivegu we spoke about a lot about in the sugya. Is it true that when you have a kinyan derabbanon, can it help for the Daraisa things? This is negay a lot of areas by luluf. Let's say we need lechem. Let's say the way I made this mine was through a kinyan derabbanon. We spoke about this by Chalipin. Chalipin is a kinyan derabbanon. How can a kinyan Chalipin work for Kedushin? How do you have a kinyan derabbanon functioning for a deraisa level? That's part of the Kivegas
Kikir. Once the rabbi say it's yours, it's yours. It's my derabbanon, but deraisa, I can come and steal it?
Okay, so that's going to be with regard to that again. For Gerushin, might be more complicated because by Gerushin, the Torah gave a very clear definition of the Nasan biyada, the Hainu Rishusai, and this is not her Rishus.
Yeah, but the Rabban also have leeway called the Kaddish
and Daikar. Yeah, but that's okay. That's we're going to get to that. We'll see in the Rishonim. We'll see that some Rishonim say that way, some Rishonim. I don't know. We'll have to see why everyone says it the way they say it. So Kash is, what about Kiddushin? Where's the Yiguna by Kiddushin? And the Mishnah says you have it by Kiddushin also. So Taisa, what this says, part of the Hekish, Makshav Alitzia, right? This week's Parsha, Parsha Kiseitze. That's what we have. What we have, the Makshav Alitzia. It's amazing. We read through Parsha Kiseitze. The whole sugya of Kiddushin was what, 2 psukim. The whole sugya of Gerushin was 3 psukim. Yevamos was 5 psukim. These huge, massive mesechtas, and the whole Torah is 5 psukim about it. You know, it's always something fascinating. Even the parts of Bab Metzia that the Torah mentioned also. 2 or 3 psukim tops. You know, it's not like the Torah goes on for on 2 parakim about these things. While in Shas, that's the beauty of Torah Shabbal Peh. It goes on for on and on. And then on top of that, Rishayim and Achrayim, we never run out of things to learn about. But that's Makash Shabbat Litzi, and that's why it works by Kiddush. If you look in Rashi over here, Rashi says, look, Rashi number 12, Karav Lo, Befarish Begimara, Omar Loi Malva Loive. Right, it says, let's talk a little bit about the case of Choyv. What happens by the case of Choyv? Oimo Loi Bal Choyv. So Rashi says, what's the case about Choyv? The Malva says to the Loive, pay me up. The two guys are standing in the middle of the street. The Malva says to the Loive, pay me up. So the Loive chucks him the money. So the Mishnah, all depends. If it's closer to the Malva gets it. If it's closer to the Loive gets it. The Shah says, well, what's the whole discussion? Pick up the money from the ground. Why is it so complicated? I understand. The money's on the street. So the question is, who's going to be lazier to go walk to get the money? What's the answer?
Let's say a car ran it over.
So Zarku Rashi. Rashi learns, Zarku Loizek Rashi Ovat. Now got lost. So now the question is, was I mekayim my mitzvah of Prius Choyv? Did I give it back to you? Because Dalat Amos is your view of Kaina. Or was I not giving it back to you? That's a Rashi learned, the Gemara, the Shalos Ovat.
It's hard to say, though, if I'm the Malva, and even if he came within my Dalai Lama's, but I have a chance to pick it up and then it gets blown away, then he was discharging it.
If Dalai Lama shall Adam Kainal,
it's only the source, not the whole.
Well, that can't be true. If that's going to be true, then it can't work by Isha.
Right.
It's not going to be able to work by Isha, if that's correct.
Where's the hope in Isha?
She doesn't want to get divorced. The Gemara says women would rather be married.
Talamate,
right. So we'll have to talk about it. There's a Gemara in Bal Metzia Daf Yud that, again, I'm guessing we're going to have to spend more time on as much as I didn't want to. But the Gemara says that Dalai Lama only works if I say I want it to work.
I just think, you know, Shalom Tzidol,
the Gemara has such a tzat.
Okay,
maybe.
I'm going to take that risk that it gets
blown. Next time,
don't
throw it.
Right, next time, the lawyer should have better aim. Make sure before you loan people, make sure they know how to throw.
No, throw the money to the
lawyer. So let's see. The Mordechai over here, number 13, has a whole different pshat in the Sugya. Very interesting way of learning the Gemara. He doesn't like Rashi's pshat. And his kasha on Rashi's pshat is, the lawyer, he says, this is a fundamental shaila, which I know we're going to get stuck with, but that's the shaila over here. Right? There's a very complicated sugya over here, that the whole shaila over here is you, the malva, tainus to the leiva, you never paid me. Because look, my money's not here, it's gone. And I said, I paid you. You, it was in your dalamis, and you didn't see, you didn't realize, but I paid you. So now the shaila is frekt the Mordechai and Rashi. Why? Right, so that's the question. We got to forget who the muftah over here. The assumption would be over here that Moshe Michal is the Malva is trying to get money out of the leiva, and he's tying into the leiva. Pay me, you never paid me. The leiva saying, I paid you already. So Zog the Mordechai, in order to answer that kashi, he has a whole different way of learning the sugya. Listen to what he learns it. He learns Shapir Shahamalva Be'en. Totally different case. The money's here. V'hachi Pirusha, Karv the Malva, Haloiva Omalai Hichzali. The case is totally different. The Malva comes to Leiva and says, pay me up. The Leiva says, I got 2 more weeks. I have a month to pay you up. I'm not paying you early. So what happens? The Ephra Loch Lizman, Kizman Aleigia Dain. I don't have time to pay. I don't have to pay you now. The Malva Omaloi, Kimachish is a Kosik Lizichisiba. So what ends up happening is the Leiva says, fine, I'll give it to you now. And the Leiva throws it to the Malva. And now the question is, and then the Leiva says, you don't know. Forget it. I want to take it back. Can the Leiva retract his payment to the Malva? So then it depends. If it was in the Dalai Lama's that the Malva became the Malva's, too late, you paid me up. But if it wasn't yet claimed by the Malva, I have the right to take it back. So Zog the Mordechai, there's no, it's be'en, the money's on the table. It's not an issue of a mitzvah mechalot raya, who am I trying to get the money at? The money's here, it's on the table. So therefore Zog the Mordechai, my pshat's much better than Rashi's pshat. Because in Rashi's pshat, where the money's gone, so you have to start handling what? Are you trying to get money out of me? I want to get money out of you. According to Mordechai, the money's on the table. We're debating on whether or not what I did is deemed a payment to the point I can't take the money back. Zok the carbon nisano. This is totally in another machlekes. Says the carbon nisano. If you look at number 50 on the top right corner, the gears that we have in the mission is what?
How's it similar to the case of getting kedushin in the mission?
Why?
Like Rashi,
Well, I'm saying it doesn't have to be exactly the same.
It's also still
it's the same idea. It's the idea of Dalet Amos being kinda. It's a discussion of whether or not Dalet Amos works.
Rashi's case is so much more normal and similar to the one is.
It's a slightly different transaction conversation. I agree with you. So that's what we really need to get to. It's the same idea. Whether or not Dalet Amos
came. He wants to take it back. Can you take it back?
Okay. So the carbon nisanal has a pshat over here. He writes like this. If you look on number 15, there's two girsas in the Mishnah. The way we have the Mishnah, it's karev l'malva. If the money were to be closer to the malva, in the malva's dal amas, who's the winner? Zaycha malva, and the malva wins. So according to Rashi, let's play this out. That's the karmen asana. If you look on the side number 15, he says that some people have the girsa haloive, meaning the girsa is this karev l'malva zaycha haloive. If the money would be closer to the malva, then the loive is the winner. Zog the carbon asana, what's the two gears Talian? Zog the carbon asana, Talian Machoik is Rashi in the Mordechai. So he writes over number 14, he writes, Rashi learns lost. He says, well, Fiha gears a carnival malva, Zoycha haloiva. Because again, if it's closer to you, it means I paid up my choif. If I paid up my choif, then I'm the winner. Zoycha haloiva. The loiva is the one gaining out of this story. So according to Rashi, the gears is not correct in the Mishnah. It shouldn't be carnival malva, Zoycha malva. It's carnival malva, Zoycha haloiva. Masha Inkin says the carbon asana, but if you learn like the Mordechai, then the gears is much more geschmack. Kardav l'malveh, if it's closer to the malveh, the malveh is kind of dalat amas. Now the loyvi can't back out and say, I don't want to give it to you, so now the malveh wins. Zok the carbon nisanal, the two gears sois in the Mishnah are told in this machloikis v'shayim how to learn the case of the Mishnah. Mr. Shem, next week, we're going to get into the